What's up, guys? Nick Scrip live here on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. P2W Fantasy Podcast. I have a half day, have a dentist appointment, take care of some stuff. So I have a little bit of a window here. So why not go live? I have my green on for St. Paddy's Day. I'm like 25% Irish, so I'm super festive. And, you know, it's just such a big part of my heritage. I wanted to come on a stream and talk about the NFL free agency moves that I didn't already speak about and talk about some moves that have been green for St. Paddy's Day, green for fantasy. So if you are tuning in right now, stick with me. It's going to be a good show. I'm going to be flying through a bunch of stuff.
Fear to give, I feel but I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best on trip, they don't understand. I play to win, yeah, I play to win. I play to win, yeah, yeah, play to win. I play to win, oh, play to win. I play to win, yeah, yeah, play to win. I play to win.
All right, so in true St. Paddy's Day fashion, we are talking green for fantasy moves in this NFL offseason. So we're talking guys that went to a new home, and I think it's green for fantasy, meaning it's a good thing for fantasy football. So I'm going to avoid things I've already talked about and avoid things that I'm not super interested in. So let's start things off. Miles Sanders in Carolina. So Miles Sanders coming off of a career high 1,269 rushing yards. He's had an efficient yards per carry throughout his career. He has five flat for that. Finds himself in a rebuilding offense that just ran the ball 26 more times than they threw the ball last season. Not a ton of competition in the backfield. Sanders had 50 receptions as a rookie, but never hit 30 after that. So we're hoping, hey, maybe this new landing spot in Carolina can use him as a pass catcher somewhat in the way that we saw his rookie season. So again, rebuilding offense, coming off of a career year, not a lot of competition. This team ran the ball more than they threw the ball last season. Obviously, that can change with a difference in personnel, but I do like Miles Sanders in Carolina. I said something about maybe David Montgomery being there. He went to the Lions. I'm not talking about him. I made a video about that separately, but I do think this is a good offense to be part of just because, again, the rate that they ran the ball last season and the opportunity that he has versus who else is in that backfield. DJ Moore, I made like several short videos about, I'm a huge DJ Moore fan, but even bigger, I'm a huge Chicago Bears fan living in the suburbs, like 40 minutes away from Chicago. Loved the fact that he lands in Chicago, not just for him in fantasy, but for the Bears in general and for Justin Fields. Obviously, we were really, really wanting him to have some sort of an alpha wide receiver. That room of Mooney, Chase Claypool, Cole Kmet is different in itself from the past season where we barely had Chase Claypool. Mooney was a bit banged up, missed some time, and now we have a true alpha. Through five seasons, he's had three over 1,100 receiving yards in four of those five seasons with 118-plus targets. So been a guy who's had receiving yard upside, but also been a guy that consistently earns targets. 2022, looking at player profiler data, he ranked number 90, DJ Moore, in catchable target rate. So absolutely awful. 2021, number 71 for wide receivers. 2020, number 79. 2019, number 75. So when people say, like, DJ Moore's never been in a good situation, that just shows it right there in that one stat, catchable target rate. Obviously, there's other metrics that can show that. But again, seeing a guy who's shown receiving yard upside and always demanded targets, he's just shown why he was a former first-round draft pick. I think Chicago will continue to add to the O-line. I do believe in Justin Fields as a passer. He was a good prospect coming out of Ohio State, and now he has his alpha wide receiver, and I do think that DJ Moore has here the best quarterback that he's ever had. So people, again, continuously go on Twitter and stuff and talk about, you know, Chicago passed at this rate last season, and I came out with, like, an angry tweet one night. And I talked about, like, the situation last year. You had, for one, a Chicago team that was in 7 one-score games. They were competitive. They didn't need to completely air it out to be competitive in those games. But number two, shitty O-line. I mean, PFF has told us that. Number three, bad wide receiver room. We're talking about Equanimeous St. Brown and Dante Pettis and Byron Pringle. That was such a horrible, if not probably, you know, not probably the worst by far in the NFL is the receiving corps. So why did they not throw the ball enough? Again, bad O-line, tight game scripts, really bad, the worst wide receiver core. Like, do the math instead of just regurgitating stats all the time and comparing what they did last year versus what they can do this year if they continue to build the O-line. And now they have better weapons and hopefully healthy weapons coming into the season. So enough of a vent right there. Also in Chicago, Deonta Foreman. He did a great job the last two seasons filling in for an injured Derrick Henry in Tennessee. And then this past season filling in for Christian McCaffrey in his role in Carolina. Across the last six games, he's played over 50% of the snaps. Foreman has averaged 23.8 rushing attempts, 113.33 rushing yards, 0.8 touchdowns, that's rushing touchdowns, and 17.9 fantasy points. So when he is in there getting the majority of the snaps, he is very good for fantasy. David Montgomery is out. Foreman should battle Khalil Herbert as the running back one, or at least the running back for the early down work in what should probably be a committee. But I actually do like this landing spot for Foreman. I think this also probably spells that Chicago, you know, I tweeted out something about them taking Bijan Robinson at 9. Probably not going to do that now, adding him. I mean, they could shock us with that. But again, I just want to reflect and really push that Foreman has been an absolute dog based off of the numbers I just said the last two seasons when given the work. So I do like this move. I do think it's going to be a lot of him and Herbert running the ball. But he's a good guy if you stash him in dynasty leagues. I know somebody just asked me that the other day because we can't assume everybody plays in like 30-man roster dynasty leagues. Somebody just asked like, hey, now that he's on Chicago, should I pick him up off of waivers? Yeah, you should. Samaje Perine lands in Denver. I thought it was going to be Kareem Hunt based off of the Matthew Berry reports that came out that he had, you know, some inside information on that. But Samaje Perine, there's been a mixture of reports specifically on Javonte Williams following his big injury and the timeline it's going to be for him to be back to health. It might not be as soon as people want it to be. So that is why Denver was an intriguing landing spot for a running back, because that running back room is empty. They just actually cut ties with Chase Edmonds as well. But Perine lands on a team, again, empty running back room. Should Javonte continue to miss time in his recovery in 2023, he steps into what should be a decent amount of work in Denver. In the last three seasons, Perine has played the majority of snaps in just four games and has averaged 22.33 fantasy points in those four games. Small sample size, but he's done some good stuff when he's actually gotten a good percentage of the snaps and volume. In the three games this past season, filling in for Mixon, he had one game of those three with three receiving touchdowns. Again, small sample size asterisk, receiving running back upside. One game with a rushing touchdown and another game with 106 rushing yards. So this past season, so small sample size, we've seen Perine in a good offense to show us some dual threat ability and show us to be very relevant for fantasy. So should he have to step in for Javonte early on in the season, or should they play a bit more of a committee role, just knowing Javonte is going to be getting back to 100%, there's going to be some fantasy appeal to Samaje Perine. Jamal Williams in New Orleans. So monster 17 rushing touchdown season. Can't say he's going to have 57 red zone touches again this year, but we can say that there's a very good chance that Alvin Kamara will face suspension and miss time. He had a career high 13.3 fantasy points per game, Jamal Williams. Even if it's temporary, the Saints offense of Carr, Alave, Michael Thomas, Juwan Johnson, being the feature back in that offense, I think is going to have some good fantasy implications. Because again, we just saw a guy that was very, very heavily utilized in the red zone. Now, if we project a team to be in the red zone a decent amount of times, we might see some more of that Jamal Williams upside, especially when it comes to touchdowns. But again, we have to see what's going to happen with Kamara, but we're expecting him to be suspended. Robert Woods, I don't think a lot of people are talking about this too much. I loved Robert Woods in the past. Really poor 2022 season in Tennessee. He still managed 90 targets, but was coming off of a big injury from the year prior. Four seasons in his career, over 100 targets. Three of those range from 129 to 140 targets. He's averaged 15-plus fantasy points per game in three seasons. Now, with Houston, we see they have Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins, John Mechie, hopefully. There's going to be a new quarterback incoming through the draft. And there's a chance that Cooks is not in their future plans. I know a lot of people have kind of voiced that. So is there a chance that Houston takes one of the top two quarterbacks in this class and that Robert Woods is his favorite security blanket year one in 2023? I think there's a chance. I don't want to go crazy about it, but a lot of people have written off Robert Woods because of a terrible year. Maybe he's further away from that injury. Maybe he has a young rookie quarterback who's going to utilize the veteran wide receiver for target share. So I think there's a little bit more appeal to Robert Woods if he's completely healthy in this coming season for redraft. Jacoby Myers, quite the roller coaster of a feeling here. At first, we're like, you know, shit, it's Davante Adams, it's Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, and Jimmy G is the quarterback. I don't know. But now we've removed Darren Waller from that mix, who in 2021 and 2020 had target shares of 24.2% and 28.7%. He only played nine games in 2022. So seeing we take a piece out of this offense that historically has had a good target share and big, you know, been a big piece of the Raiders, I think that makes it much more appealing. Obviously, Davante Adams is going to be the alpha, but I don't think we expected Jacoby Myers to go anywhere and be the alpha somewhere like he pretty much was in New England. 22% and 24.4% target share the last two seasons with the Patriots. He saw 126 targets back in 2021. We saw bumps in receiving yards per game and total touchdowns this past season for Jacoby Myers. He averaged 12.9 fantasy points per game. So this is a guy that's had an average depth of his targets, 10 and 9.6 the last two seasons. I feel like he could be a reliable option for Jimmy G in the intermediate parts of the field. So I actually do like this move a bit more. Again, knowing that Darren Waller's out of there, Jimmy G's just been a guy that just like does his job. And I don't think Jacoby Myers is dependent on big splash plays or touchdowns. I think he's just dependent on, you know, those medium sized routes in the middle of the field and getting some decent targets. So Jacoby Myers with Jimmy G in Las Vegas. I'm going to briefly mention Madison. You know, he's been a guy I talked about a lot. I know some people have, you know, made jokes about like, oh, people think like Madison's good at football or why are we hyping him up? But I've said this before, when playing 50% plus of the snaps the last two seasons, he's averaged 93.8 rushing yards, 4.16 receptions, 0.5 rushing touchdowns, and 22.48 fantasy points. That's good. I don't care who it is. That's good. This is green in the event that Minnesota moves on from Dalvin Cook, which has been rumored for the last like 2-3 weeks now. You know, he's has the potential for the path that, hey, I've been in this system before. When I get to work, I do good things. Dalvin Cook, maybe he gets traded. Now is my time. I mean, it's a bit of a stretch to hope for that. It's more of a wishful thinking, but to say it's not a possibility with them bringing him back and having those Dalvin Cook rumors is even more of a stretch. The worst case scenario for him is he is a good handcuff. Best case scenario is Minnesota knows that their offense isn't dependent on Madison, but they roll with him. But we'll see. We'll see with that one. Darren Waller in New York. I actually like this move a lot. Only nine games played this past season, 93 targets in 11 games, then 145 and 117 in 2020 and 2019. So 2021 was the 93 targets, 2020, 145 and 117 in 2019. Two seasons over 1,100 receiving yards, massive 17.4 points per game in 2020. Daniel Jones is coming off of a career season with Brian Daboll in his first year as a head coach, year one together, a career high in receiving, passing yards, career high in completion percentage, career high in yards per attempt, the lowest amount of interceptions he's ever thrown, Player Profiler ranked him number 5 in accuracy rating and number 1 in true completion percentage, Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley led this team in targets in 2022 with 76. They brought in Paris Campbell. Isaiah Hodgins had a hot finish to end the year. Darius Slayton is coming back. All this says to me is that Daniel Jones was much more competent as a quarterback with Brian Daboll as a head coach. And number 2, Darren Waller steps in as today, you know, potentially to be the number 1 target in New York. And a healthy Darren Waller being the number 1 target screams massive fantasy implications, because he was never going to be that with Davante Adams in Las Vegas. So would I prefer Darren Waller with Jimmy G in Las Vegas, or would I prefer him with Daniel Jones without that true alpha in New York? And I'm picking New York. You know, we look for the Travis Kelce, or we hope for these guys in fantasy to be the next Travis Kelce that is his quarterback's number 1 target. We don't see that enough. I mean, Mark Andrews, as of today, even with Bateman there, probably is that guy. We won't say that about you know, George Kittle. We're not going to say that about T.J. Hockenson. We're not going to say that about Pat Freiermuth or Dallas Goedert. But Darren Waller, we can say that about as of today. Do I think that they can add another wide receiver? Could they draft one? Sure. But as of right now today, Darren Waller should be that team's number 1 target. And if healthy, that is huge for fantasy. I just bumped him up a ton in my dynasty rankings. I was very low on him, to be honest, just based off of him having the competition he did in Las Vegas, the injuries. But I like this move a lot. Rashad Penny in Philadelphia. In Penny's last 7 games playing a majority of the snaps, he's averaged 129.86 rushing yards, 1.14 touchdowns, and 21.3 fantasy points. Absolute stud. I found a graphic from 2021 I made, and it was of running backs that had 30-yard rushing plays, the amount of 30-yard-plus rushing plays. Penny, in 10 games and only 119 attempts, was second that year to Jonathan Taylor for that category. I mean, we've just seen very, very good things out of Penny, except for him, like, playing games. 5, 10, 3, 9, and 13 games played for his career. Philadelphia ran the ball the 3rd most times last season. Obviously, this includes Hurts, but they do have a scheme of running the ball a ton. I saw a tweet that you know, Penny was mentioning that said something about Hurts reaching out to him directly in, you know, talking about Super Bowl aspirations. Penny said himself recently he's healthy, he's ready to go. He's probably the most polarizing player for the running back position for fantasy as of today. He has such a high risk, but such a high reward at the same time. Like, he is the definition of high risk, high reward. So I am excited about him. I think it's a great spot to be in as the lead running back. He's done nothing but ball out when healthy. It's just the healthy part. That's the asterisk. Juju Smith-Schuster with the Patriots. You know, a lot of people mention, well, he's going from Patrick Mahomes to Mac Jones. That's an obvious, you know, major downgrade for the quarterback position. Is the target share potential, though, is that a downgrade? He ranked number 46 in 2022 for wide receivers with a 17.4% target share. There was also the chance that Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, their roles grew in Kansas City for 2023. So I think it was best for him to not be in there when we're looking at things like target share and high consistent volume. Jacoby Myers is out. Juju's in. I mentioned Jacoby Myers before a bit, but 22%, 24.4%, and 23.2% target shares for Jacoby Myers the last 3 seasons. Juju may never, you know, sniff that, you know, 14-26 receiving yard season where he averaged 18.4 points per game in 2018, but coming off of a season 67 yards shy of 1,000 receiving yards, he only scored 3 touchdowns. I think that the hope for fantasy still lingers. Now, again, it's Mac Jones. They just added Mike Gesicki today. I think they're going to continue to add to this offense. But as of right now today, when we're looking at target share and probably the consistency of targets that Juju can see, I think it's there for him in New England. He's the Jacoby Myers replacement. Last thing I want to mention, and I don't think I have a note for this, but I thought it was very smart of the Bears grabbing PJ Walker and the Eagles grabbing Marcus Mariota, because I think we're looking at two quarterbacks that, you know, are guys the offense won't have to change the playbook for, knock on wood, in the event that the starter goes down. I think those are smart moves by those offenses. But that'll do it today. Just wanted to talk about some moves briefly that I feel like are green for St. Paddy's Day. Good things for fantasy football. Going to have tons more content out throughout the entire offseason. Go check out the Patreon. If you're listening to this right now, if you're listening live, go check out the Patreon. The link is in my bio. The amount of content consistently that is put in there is worth the money. The P2W data set that's over 30 tabs of data is worth the money in itself. Just that. Dynasty rankings, player profiles, the incoming rookie class. There's a trades chat. The amount of areas of content is massive. I have a P2W team now. Those guys are dropping content as well in there. It's well worth the $5 a month. So go check out the Patreon today. Stay active in your leagues. I know people are emotional this time of year. You can capitalize on it. And always, I'm here to help you guys play to win. So thanks for listening. Thanks for checking it out. And enjoy the weekend. Stay safe for St. Paddy's Day.